John chapter 19, verse 26, John 19, 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, he was hanging on the cross, there were two criminals on either side, one on either side of him. Jesus is hanging on the center cross on Golgotha, the place of the skull, so called because it kind of looked like a skull. The caves were where the eyes might be in a skull and so on. And so when Jesus therefore saw his mother, he was hanging on the cross, looked down at the foot of the cross and saw his mother Mary and the disciples standing by whom Jesus loved. That would be John. Oftentimes in John's, especially in the Gospel of John, John doesn't refer to himself by name. He refers to himself in various ways. And one of them is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so Jesus hanging on the cross, going through all that he has gone through in to this point and being crucified, the beating before, the crowning with thorns, the mocking, all of that he went through, he looked down, he saw Mary his mother, he saw the disciple John standing by, and he said unto his mother, very curious, woman, behold thy son. Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And you might, if it weren't for the next sentence, you might lose exactly what's meant here. But in the next sentence, he says, and from that hour, that disciple, John, took her, Mary, unto his house. And so Jesus wasn't saying, behold your son hanging on the cross. Behold the one suffering for you. Behold the one crucified for you. He is saying, in essence, Mary, I want you to behold your son now because I'm not going to be able to be there for you. I'm not going to be able to be your son any longer. I'm about to leave this earth. But I want you to behold John. And John's going to do for you as a son would do if I were able to remain on earth. And John, I want you to behold your mother. I want you to count her as your very own mom. I want you to take her in and take care and protect her and bless her because she is very, very valuable and important to me. I wish everybody here at First Baptist could have known my mom. Some of you did know her. I wrote a little bit about her in my bulletin article, and I think you would have liked her. She never, ever met a stranger. I don't know anyone who didn't like her. She had a whole gaggle of gals that would come over and play games with her. They would play Yahtzee. I learned later on she taught my children how to play poker. I don't know how that one got by me. That's just the kind of mom she was. And when she was teaching that, she was probably just grinning from ear to ear. But she would play Yahtzee and all different kinds of games, rummy tile and all of that. And if somebody was beating her, that was because they were always cheating, she would say. That's the only way they could win is if they were cheating. She was fun-loving. She was my first cheerleader in life. She took me to church early on when I was a young child. She never complained, even though she had a debilitating disease as a child. When she didn't finish eighth grade, actually, because in her elementary years, she contracted osteomyelitis, which in those days, you could lose your leg. There was no cure for that. And she went through a series of treatments in Louisville, Kentucky. She actually had to leave home as a little 8-year-old girl and be for several weeks in a hospital, Shriners Hospital, up in Louisville. And she never complained. She, even as an adult, had many serious problems, the last one being the disease that took her life. Never complained, and I miss her a lot and can't wait to see her again one day. There was another very special lady I wish you could have known, and that would be my mother-in-law. And this is Edna Geraldine Goodson. It's my wife's mom, and she was like a mother to me, too. We'd go back to see her every year. In the summertime, she would make two banana puddings, one of them for me and one of them for everybody else. And she would let me eat on that one banana pudding for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks. And I would willingly. And God blessed us with two incredible mothers. And we both lost our moms. Pat's a little early on, actually, very early on. Not all children lose their mothers. Some mothers lose their sons and daughters. My grandmother, who lived to be, I believe it was 86 years of age, my grandmother on my dad's side, had lived through all kinds of things. I mean, literally, when we would go visit them, they had no indoor plumbing. I'm not going to try to explain that to you kids. They had no indoor plumbing. They had no running water. They had no electricity. They had no central heat, let alone central air. They did have an automobile, but they didn't use it very often. They most often used the mules and the wagon. I'm talking country. I mean, someone says, what are you? Are you Italian? Are you Greek? No, I'm hillbilly to the core is what I am. But they had none of that. And she went from that to seeing a man walk on the moon. And I asked her, I said, what's something that amazed you more than anything else, expecting some great observation about some scientific discovery? And she said, the thing that really amazes me is that I've lost some of my children. My children passed away before I did. She said, you don't expect that. You shouldn't ever have to go through that. But some mothers lose their sons or daughters, and Mary was one of those mothers. Jesus spoke seven sayings. You may have heard a message or maybe a series of messages on the seven sayings from the cross. Three of them were between 9 a.m. and noon, and then four of them between noon and 3 p.m. The first three things that Christ said from the cross had nothing at all to do with his own personal suffering. Nothing. He did not say, I thirst, until, first of all, he met the needs of others. Later on, he would say, why hast thou forgotten me? And he would say, it is finished, and into thy hands I commit my spirit. But before he said those things, he would say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And today thou shalt be with me in paradise, to one of the thieves being crucified. Jesus was always thinking about others first. In that way, I think he's like a mom. I think moms have a special ability to always think of others first, always put others first. My mom always did that. I heard a story years ago about a teacher who showed her class a picture of a pie, and she told the class to draw the picture of the pie on a piece of paper, and then to, as if they were going to serve the pie to their family, to cut it into however many pieces were in their particular family. So Kelly's would have really small pieces of pie. Others might have bigger pieces of pie. But the homework, obviously, the expectation was that if you had five in your family, it would be cut into five pieces. And if you had four, it would be four. And if you had just two, it would be a half a pie each. And so they were dividing the pies. And she stopped at a little boy's desk named Billy. And she said, Billy, how many people are in your family? And he said, well, there's six in my family. And she said, but you only divided the pie into five pieces. Why is that? Because, he said, Mom would say she wasn't really that hungry, and she'd let us have more pie. That's kind of the way moms are. That's kind of the way they are. They do whatever. They go beyond. They go literally, I mean, they go through a horrendous time in delivering children. They give life through much pain and suffering of their own, and it seems like they go through their lives giving and giving and giving and giving. And so here he is on the cross, and he's about to speak again. What would it be? Would it be some great theological truth? Would it be a profound thought of some kind that philosophers would discuss for millennia after that? Would it be pronouncing some judgment upon the Romans who were having him put to death? Would he preach a message, an incredible message from the cross? And out came these words, basically, Mom, look at your son. And John, here's your mom. Imagine that, with all he was going through. Jesus gave his mom four things on that awful day. He didn't give her a card. He didn't give her a gift. He didn't make breakfast for her. No flowers. But three things that each of us should give our moms, and a fourth thing that Jesus gave to his mom. First of all, he gave her the assurance of where he was going when he left this world. He gave her the assurance of where he's going. Does your mom have that? Does your mom know that you're going to be in heaven? Does your mom know that she can see you again one day if she precedes you, or if something happens and your life is cut short? Does your mom know that you're going to be in heaven? Mary looked at the pained face of her son she bore 33 years before. I can't imagine seeing her son go through that. Many of you know our daughter, our oldest daughter, Shannon. Last Sunday morning, 3:30 in the morning, her leg broke, just broke as she was walking across the room. And she all week long was in the hospital, and Pat went up to be with her, and she was up there several different days, and I went up a couple of times, and I think any parent would rather suffer themselves than to see their kids suffer. I think I'd rather go through a broken leg or whatever else it is than to have to see your son or daughter go through that. And so here's Mary at the foot of the cross, seeing what they've done to her precious little baby. She recalled his tender touches. She remembered a little baby in a manger. She remembered those hands that were so tiny at one time and so fresh and new. And now they're pierced with nails and blood drips from them. And soon she knows she'll see them no longer. But she knows where he's going. She knows that he's going to be with the Heavenly Father. Several years ago, a man was dying, and he called his five sons in to say his last goodbyes. And he started with the eldest, and to each in turn, he told them, "Good night, son, I'll see you in the morning." And finally, the youngest son came to his side, and to him the father said simply, "Goodbye, son." And the son cried, "Why did you say, 'I'll see you in the morning,' to my brothers and just goodbye to me?" "Because," his dad replied, "you've not been saved." And the other sons got saved, and that son got saved that day. You know what? One day, there's a heaven and a hell. And depending on what you do with Christ in this life determines where you're going to go. And if you were to pass away this week, does your mom have the assurance of where you would be for all of eternity? Mary did. She knew where Jesus was going to be. Some of you have heard your mom pray for you. Some of you have had your mom beg you to stay away from certain things, to stay away from certain people, to not do certain things, to be careful, to turn to Christ. But you've rejected the God that she loves, and you wish she'd leave you alone when all in the world she wants to do is to make sure that you're ready to live with her forever in heaven. Jesus gave his mom the assurance of where he was going to be. Secondly, he gave her the assurance of provision for the rest of her life. And notice, he didn't ask John to take care of his mom when he was 20 years old or 25 years old or even 30 years old. But now as he's on the cross and as his life is draining from him, as he is there for the very purpose of dying, this cross becoming an altar and the Lamb of God being slain upon that altar, Jesus, knowing what is happening, stopped and took time out of his suffering and misery to say to John, "John, I want you to take care of my mom. I would do it if I were going to be here, but I'm not going to be here much longer." And I think to myself, too many moms are forgotten today by themselves, alone, no one to watch over them. I was encouraged at the number of people who put pictures of their moms on Facebook in the last couple of days. I was encouraged at the fact that several are very, very close to their moms. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "If any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And I just simply ask you today, how's your mom living? Are you taking care of her? Is she as comfortable as you can help her be today? She fed you, so if you have to feed her, that's not too much to ask. She clothed you, so if you have to clothe her, it's not too great a chore. She cared for you, so you need to care for her. First time I remember having this conversation in any kind of depth was in 1977. Let's see, how old was I in 1977? I don't know, not very old. And you know what? At some point, you know, life and death became reality. At some point, I began thinking about the future. And at some point, you kind of shift gears and you know everything's not going to always be the same as it is right now. And I'd had my mom and my dad forever, and I'd had them to take care of me forever. And so I knew at some point that probably things were going to be different. And we were driving around San Diego in the car. My mom and dad were in the back seat, and Pat was in the front. And we spoke of many things. We recalled the past. And I told my parents, from a heartfelt, full of love, that I would take care of them and I would do for them whatever I could for them as they got older. Because I love them and because it's the right thing to do. It's my responsibility. Kids, you need to give your parents the assurance that you'll be there for them, that you'll take care of them. Honor your father and your mother includes taking care of them when they're no longer able to take care of themselves. We used to be somewhere and we'd see an elderly couple holding hands and kind of walking, and we'd say, "Boy, there we are in 20 years. There we are." And I used to, then I'd say, "Maybe there we are in about 10 years, babe." And now it's like, you know, there we are in about 20 minutes. life just goes, doesn't it? Goes so fast. And you need to let her know. A card's not enough. Dinner's not enough. My mom lived next door, and we had a gate put in the fence between our houses, and we'd go back and forth and take care of her and tend to her and help her out, and we wanted her to stay home as long as she could, but it got to the point where she couldn't. You know what? She never complained. We put her over here at Coronado Royale, and there they were able to take care of her because she had some other needs that we couldn't take care of. And we would come by and see her. And I remember coming in, she had a little roommate, a little friend, and we came in, and they'd be sitting in front of the TV. There's my mom, there's her little buddy, and watching TV together. But we'd always visit. Every Sunday she'd come to church. Every Sunday we'd take her out to eat and take her back home. She'd go play bingo, and she had trophies lined up in her room where she'd win all these bingo games, because if anybody else won, they were cheating. But so we cared for her. There's a third thing. Let your mom know that you'll be in heaven one day. Let your mom know that you'll take care of her, whatever the future holds. The third thing is this. He gave her a son who was in the will of God. He gave her a son who was in the will of God. Sons and daughters, you need to be in the will of God. You need to be right where God wants you to be. You owe it to your mom. You owe it to your God. I never could understand kids that would mock their parents, call them names. And back in those days, they weren't awful names, I guess, but, you know, the old man, the old woman. I never called my mom and dad the old man, the old woman. I never did that. Maybe it's because, you remember the switch story I told you about? Maybe that may have been the reason. My mom may have trained me when I was young. I don't know, but I never could. I never did disrespect my parents. You owe them more than that. She bore you. She nursed you. She kissed away your hurts of childhood. She played with you. She was your best buddy for a long time. She sat by your bedside when the fever was raging. In 1966, let's see, I was at 19 years of age, and I had tonsillitis, and so it had become so bad. They said we've got to remove them. Okay, so I'm gonna have my tonsils out. I'm 19 years old. And I was in pre-med curriculum. So get this. I said, I want to be awake during the surgery. One of the all-time dumbest things I have ever requested in my entire life. And so they set me up in like a dentist chair, and they began taking my tonsils out. There's not just some little zipper around them that they have to undo. They have to get in there. And they had the doctor's hands in there, the nurse's hands in there, suction tubes in there. They had pliers. They had saws. They had bolt cutters. They had, I mean, everything in my mouth. And because I was 19 years of age, and because it becomes more dangerous as you get older, I began hemorrhaging. And so about the time they were finishing up, they had to go back in and do some more work. And about the time then I got back in the room and started hemorrhaging again, went into shock. They had to take me back in, set me up again. I was wide awake for that. Do you know when I came to? You know who was sitting there by my bedside? My mom. Your mom was there for you when you don't even realize it. She was rooting for you. She was in your corner. She was doing stuff for you. Get in the will of God. Be in the will of God. Don't break your mom's heart. I don't know how many moms I've had in my office through the years that have wept over their kids because of bad decisions they make. Getting away from God, getting away from mom and dad. Jesus gave his mom the assurance she would be in heaven. The assurance he would take care of her no matter what, and the knowledge that he was in the will of God. And the last thing is, he gave her John to care for her when he was gone. Woman, behold thy son. John, behold your mom. I don't know. Some theologians say that John was his favorite disciple. I don't know if Jesus had favorites. He had his inner circle. I know that. And in that inner circle, there was one that was leaning on his breast at the supper table. I know that. And the one whom John says of himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved, I know that. But he picked out one that he had great regard for, no doubt. And he said, John, I want you to take care of my mom. Mom, I want you to go home with John. He will watch over you. Right now, his dad is out of the picture. Joseph's long gone. I think probably had already passed away before this happened. We don't know. But Jesus gave John a mother and gave his mother a son. Now, God gave each one of us a mom. I said earlier, it may be that you didn't have the kind of mom that you wish you could have had. It may be that your mom was an alcoholic or a drug addict. It may be that your mom didn't love you, didn't treat you right. It may be that your mom abused you. I don't know. She's not perfect, but she is yours. And the Bible does say that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And that doesn't mean I can explain to you every single thing that happens in your life, because I sure can't. I don't understand every single thing that happens in my life. But I know that God never, ever sees something happening and says, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was going to happen. God knows everything, even before it happens. She's not perfect, but she's yours. She did without for you. She prayed for you. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys to share. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Yeah, my mom's not here today. If she was still alive, she'd be right down here, right down front somewhere. But she knows I'll be in heaven one day. And I'm so thankful we took care of her. I have no regrets about that. And I've tried to stay in the center of God's will. She's the one that started my walk with God, taking me to Sunday school and church. As a matter of fact, in the First Baptist Church, Chicago Heights, Illinois. Now, each one of you need to assure your moms of the same things. And if, in fact, you haven't talked to your mom for years, months, or weeks, today would be a great day. And if you have talked, but you haven't assured her of these things, today would be a great day. By phone, in person, if you can, let her know. Let her know that you're trusting the same Christ. And if she's not trusting Christ, let her know that, so that you can have your mom in heaven one day.